Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. New Covenant Christian Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6067.
All right. I want to just segue now into a time of encouragement. I'm going to call it preaching. I'm going to preach it. My daughter had a dream, and we're not going to do this time, but we are going to do it soon. Okay, so my daughter had a dream once, and in the dream, there was a new word that was created. It was called dreech. And it was a blend of two words. The first word is drop, and the second word is preach. Have you ever heard of drop poetry? Okay, and drop poetry is like an improv type of poetry. And so there are venues all around, these little coffee shops and places like that, where you could have like some drop poetry. It'd be kind of similar to slam poetry and other things like that. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just Google it. And so in her dream, she had a dream, and there was a sign that, I think I got it right, that was announcing like an event, and it was preaching, I don't know. But anyway, drop preaching. I don't know. I totally got it wrong. The whole point is that I was thinking about this weekend. I was thinking, how fun would it be to have an improv session of preaching where people got up here and they preach. Drop some knowledge. Drop the word. Goodness. And so we could do that. I think it would be fun. And so just, you know, it echoes that passage of scripture that says, be ready in every season, you know, in and out of season, to give an account of the hope that you have. All right, so how fun would that be? And so we'll work on that, and it'll be fun. But I'm going to preach, and it's not going to really be dreech, because I actually thought about this for days now. Right? So it may come across a little bit like dreech. All right, but anyway, the thing that I want to talk about here is putting God first in this last and final topic of our series that we've been on. Remember, it was a 5-week series that has lasted now for how many months? And so it's just been expanding. And we want to put God first in our spiritual life. We want to put God first in our finances, our relationships, our play even, the adventure, the recreation, the things that even they were sharing about how good it is to get out of your little sphere, your little bubble, and go on an adventure where you don't always have all the answers and you don't always have the predictability of the routine, and you have to really just enjoy the presence of the Lord in the midst of even your play, because His joy is so rich for us, and there's so much substance that comes from touching and living in that place of joy. And then moving now into this fifth and final section, which I started last week, which was putting God first in your work. Work, that four-letter word, work, that we've discovered is actually not a curse, but a blessing, that it's actually a gift from the Lord. Last week I talked all about it, and I want you to just go on to our podcast and just take a look at that. You can like us on Facebook, New Covenant Christian Fellowship in Woodland Park. And there's links there that can get you to those podcasts. You can also even sign up for the e-blast via that mechanism called the interweb. All right, so that being said, work is really, it's good. Work is good. And the reason why we know that is because God is at work. God invented it. God gave work for Adam to do in the garden even before the fall. And so work is good. And God is at work all around you and I. And He's both at work around us and in us. And He's at work, and the workmanship of God is us. Like, we are His workmanship. And He's giving us both the desire and the power that brings pleasure to His heart, that brings pleasure to the Father through the work that He's given us to do, that He's actually predestined for us to do these good works. So how fun is that? So that's kind of in a nutshell what we talked about last week. And we also talked about how it is the Father who rewards those who do good. And so we dissected that a little bit. So at the core of it, what we discovered was that you actually don't work for your boss. You work as unto the Lord. And there's these other things that we talked about. For example, you don't necessarily work for your paycheck. To do so would simply be striving in that toil for provision. And we recognize that toil came as the result of the fall, and that God, in the redemptive work that he's doing through Christ, is bringing us into he's bringing us into his original intent, which is for us to enjoy the work of our hands. So what we do then is we work hard from a place of our values. We realize that the compensation that we get, that we receive, is actually a value for value exchange. And as we are faithful with a little, God brings increase. And so today I want to explore some other things related to work after I take a sip of my tea. Got a little something going on here. I've spent the last couple days out in the wilderness, and I was actually asked to cook. And I told myself on the way out there, it's for a ministry that takes fathers and or mothers, actually, and their children, boy or girl, and it's a one-on-one where that child hunts for the first time. So it's kind of in that genre of ministry where we go outdoors and we have a camp, and kids, they work really hard for months preparing for this, getting the hunter safety, getting, you know, their shooting down and all of that stuff, and passing some tests, and then going out one-on-one with a parent and hunting for the first time with a professional guide who volunteers to guide them in the hunt. And I was cooking. And I was the guy back at base camp cooking it up. The only reason why I'm telling you that is because I had this prick going on and I'm sleep deprived. Because I was in the staff tent with four other really big men who still are really loud. That would be awesome. All right, so there it is. So today what I want to explore is how the activity of God, I want you to think about the activity of God on the earth. If God is working, and he's working in us, and he's working around us, God is at work, then you have to recognize that the activity of God all around us is his goodness at work. If nothing else, let that phrase settle in on you. The activity of God is his goodness at work. So what can I say about the goodness of God? First of all, I can say that he is good, and everything that he does is good. And what he allows in your life, it may be hard, and yet he's turning all things for good to those who love him and are called according to his purposes. His goodness and his glory are one and the same. In fact, Moses says, I want to see your glory. And he was taken up to the mountain, tucked away in the mountainside. And when the Lord's glory passed before him, it says, he says, I will let my goodness pass before you. So there's this dynamic of God's goodness that we cannot underestimate. His goodness causes us to turn from our unrighteousness. His loving kindness and his goodness ushers us into our new life with Jesus. I mean, you know this from the scripture, right? It's his kindness that leads us to repentance. And so as the Spirit of Christ dwells within us, we bear the fruit of that Spirit, right? So think about it. The Holy Spirit has taken up residence in us. It is he who is at work within us. That is the Holy Spirit. And the work of the Holy Spirit in us is to produce the fruit of Christ that gets displayed through our lives. And you have to know that not the least of which in the list of all the fruits of the Holy Spirit is what? Goodness. Ephesians 5, 8 through 10 tells us this, that we were formerly darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. In verse 9, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. So it is God who has inspired us and empowered us and encourages us to walk in goodness. And so the fruit of that light is goodness. And you are the light of the world, and the goodness of the Father shines through your life. And we're going to connect some dots here and how that plays in to work. As we consider the activity of God in this world and in your life, it's his goodness at work, first to you and then through you. Then let's listen to Hebrews 10:28. It tells us of the importance of this kind of encouragement, this kind of preaching that I'm doing right now, right? And so Hebrews 10:28 encourages us. It actually starts in 23. Let us hold tightly, without wavering, to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Verse 24, let us think of ways to motivate each other to acts of love and good works. So here we are. We're thinking of ways to motivate each other to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect the meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his returning is drawing near. All right, so we understand that our lives are to reflect the goodness of God. So allow me then to speak more into that, because oftentimes there can be a gap in our thinking. And I think this gap has been created by our culture. We're highly influenced by a more Western way of thinking, a more Greek-oriented way of thinking. And so our worldview could really compartmentalize work, the work of our hands, for example, our jobs, separate from the work of our hearts, which we might call like our calling. So we have the work of our hands and the work of our hearts, our job, maybe our occupation, and then our calling or our ministry. And while they may have some lines of demarcation between them, let me just bridge that gap a little bit. Let's think a little bit more about life integrated fully in Christ. Showing up to your job is showing up to your call. The reason why I can say that is because your life is fully integrated in Christ, and so your call extends beyond your job. And so the good works that God has prepared for you to do, they transcend all of the compartments of your life. And so the good works that God has prepared for us, to think otherwise, you know, would be to think that your faith could actually be compartmentalized. That, for example, maybe you only express your faith on Sunday mornings or at the Bible study, whatever that might be. And I honestly think that that's a primitive way of thinking. And it's rooted in religion. The enlightened thinking of the kingdom of God is that your faith in God is interwoven in every aspect of your life, every relationship of your life. Your faith in Christ is really the atmosphere in which you live in. So much like a fish at home in water, whether in the open sea or tucked in and nestled into the coral reef, that fish draws its life from the atmosphere that it lives in. And that atmosphere transcends all the little compartments of its habitat. Of course, you take that fish out of its natural habitat, and it will suffer and eventually die. Yeah, I like that sound. You and I, let's enjoy that. So you and I, what we do is we draw from the atmosphere of the kingdom of God, right? Since we have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, so whether we're at church or on the job site or at a family reunion, we live by faith in that atmosphere. You get what I'm saying? So this brings me to James 2:26. And if you're taking notes, great. If you're thumbing through your Bible, go there. I mean, James 2:26 is really a great passage. And it says this, just as the body is dead without breath. In other words, if you're taken out of the atmosphere of your natural habitat, you will die. So what is your natural habitat? Okay, so also faith is dead without good works. So there's this dynamic now where in the atmosphere of the kingdom of God, good works and your faith, they join together. You actually begin to express your faith through the work that God has called you to, through the work of your hands and the work of your heart, collectively. And so as we're thinking about putting God first in our work, we have to imagine that there's a much larger story here than you just showing up from your 9 to 5 and getting a paycheck. I mean, there's a call of God on each one of your lives. And that call of God can be expressed in your job, and like I said, you know, at church or in Bible studies, but also in your family reunions and your relationships across the board. So let's just think in terms of that. So we're beginning to see that the work that God has prepared for us to do in this life is attached to our faith. And our faith is manifested in the good works that we put both our hands to and our hearts to. And sometimes you work out your faith. Okay, get this, ready? You work out your faith simply by being a good worker. Showing up on time. Putting in an honest day's work. Dealing fairly with your customers and your vendors and your creditors and your investors. Following through on your promise, over-delivering on what you've promised. All of this is good, and this is living out your faith, actually. So don't hear me wrong. I'm not saying never talk about your relationship with Jesus at work, but I can imagine that you're actually probably not getting paid to evangelize. Ooh, I just said that. In fact, it seems at times, and I've seen it time and time again, where the honest good work that you do speaks louder than the words that you would speak. So let the fruit of your life generate opportunities to share Jesus with others as they recognize that there's really a difference in your life expressed through your good work. And that might actually happen outside of the job, outside of that time frame of 9 to 5. You get what I'm saying? There might actually be relationships that get built from people that you're working with and around. How cool would that be? And so this is why laziness and stealing are so untolerated throughout the scripture, right? Like Ephesians 4:28, it says this, if you are a thief, quit stealing. I just love how clear it is. Instead, use your hands for good, hard work, and then give generously to others in need. Do a 180 on that. I mean, and let the goodness of God that is at work within you allow that transformation to happen. And it also speaks to the laziness piece in Romans 12:11. It says, never be lazy. Again, I love how simple it is, straightforward, to the point, never be lazy. But work hard and serve the Lord. Wow, I love how they put those two together, right? I mean, working hard and serving the Lord, again, it's not two different compartments. Do it with enthusiasm. So this brings me to the part of the teaching that makes some delineations here, okay? And one of the big delineations that I want to make is the difference between working hard and striving. There's a big difference. Externally, it might look similar. Internally, it's going to be way different. One of them will produce a lot of anxiety and fear, and the other one will produce a lot of fruit, actually. So remember that toil was introduced at the fall of man as a result of sin, right? And so work came before the fall, and it is to be enjoyed. And here's where faith and work intersect. The good work that you and I are called to put our hearts and our hands to is accomplished not by striving in our efforts, but rather in partnership with the Spirit of Christ that is at work within us. So what you're going to start to see here in the next few minutes is me merging some thoughts together that bring us full circle back around to the very first topic in Putting God First series, and that is putting God first in your spirituality. And how everything can be sacred. The work of your hands, the work of your heart, it can all be connected together. So what striving does, striving is that, you know, trying to generate things through your efforts alone, like your human, soulful, strong-willed efforts, which, praise God, He's given us a soul. Praise God, He's given us a free will. Praise God, He's given us all of these things. Those things are supposed to be in partnership with the work of the Holy Spirit within us, right? And so in that partnership, we can work hard, but we're not striving in the same attitudes, and we're not striving in the same way. We're not striving motivated out of certain fears, but now we're working hard as a response to the goodness of God that He's doing in our life. And we feel like this is a call and a privilege, and it's something that can be enjoyed, and as we read in Ecclesiastes, it really is a gift from God. So the goodness of God expressed in your good works, what it produces is not short-lived fruit, short-term fruit, but actually lasting fruit. So think about it. You want your work to have lasting impact, right? I mean, you want the work of your hands and the work of your heart, just you want whatever energy it is that you pour out, the values that you live by, the purpose of God over your life, you want all of that to have an impact, because as kingdom people, you stop thinking short term and you start thinking about legacy. You start thinking about fruitfulness. You want to know why? Because in the DNA of Jesus that has taken up residence in your life, because remember, you and Christ are one. It's actually, you died to your old self and you are now alive in Christ. And in Christ you live and breathe and have your being. So the DNA of Jesus that is in you, that came alive when the Holy Spirit took up residence in your life, that DNA is designed and engineered to multiply. So, that being said, if we want lasting impact, then we're actually thinking in terms of kingdom mindset. That's like, I was made to, like, have fruitfulness in my life. We're all made for that. Everything about the kingdom of God, including God's people, are designed to be fruitful and multiply. So the question is then, how do we put God first in our work in such a way that our work produces fruitfulness that remains? That's the big question. So, well, friends, like I said, this is the part of the series where we come full circle back around to this topic of putting God first in your spiritual life. I read out of John 15 during worship, or right after worship, for a reason, because it ties us all together here. So John 15, 5, it says this: those who remain in me and I in them, they will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. Well, that's true. And it's not true. There's a lot of people who are not united with Christ, who do not remain in Christ, that do a lot of things. But the big question has to do with, what is that nothing? Is that nothing fruitlessness? Yeah, I believe so. So we can spin our wheels, we can toil, we can strive. That's doing a whole lot of energy activity. And yet the point isn't how hard can we work in that genre, but how fruitful can we be as we are abiding in Christ. And we recognize that our souls are in partnership with Jesus. And so that if apart from Him we can do nothing, then what we can surmise then is that joined with Christ, we can do something. Something good. Something fruitful. And so, verse 8 here in John 15, it tells us that when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. In other words, when you produce fruit, you're living like a kingdom person. You've chosen to submit your ways to my ways, and my ways are that you would be fruitful. And so this brings great glory to the Father. Wow, this brings great glory to the Father. Do you realize that your fruitfulness in life, in the place of your good works, brings glory to the Father? Again, we're just echoing what I've already shared. And so verse 9 here, it says, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me, remain in my love. So you're empowered to do good work from the abiding place with Jesus, by remaining in His love, really. And this is why Jesus was so clear about the work that He called each and every one of us to. Every disciple is called to this one work. So I like to start from that salient point. You just boil everything down to what is at the core And this one call, this one work is what God has like called all of us to, regardless of how we express the goodness of God in such a variety of ways throughout his body. There's one consistent work that he's called us all to. You know, Ephesians 4:16 tells us that he makes Jesus, makes his whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. So we understand that there's variety in all of this work that God has called us to. So we understand that, you know, God has called us to a variety of works, and yet there's one work that God is like consistently bringing us back to. Consistently bringing us back to. And honestly, it might be the hardest work that you do. It doesn't matter if you're in the marketplace or in the church or in your family or in a nonprofit sector, if you're a missionary, if you're a preacher, if you're an electrician, whatever that work is that you put your hands to, this one work that Jesus has called us to may be your hardest work. It doesn't matter if you express the goodness of God through signs and wonders. I mean, literally, like raising people from the dead, praying for the sick, they get well. Praying for blind eyes, they start to see. Ears that are blocked and deaf, they start to hear. Or you're faithfully showing up and doing a good job at your 9-to-5. This one work that Jesus has called us to may be the hardest work that you're asked to do. Your ability to manifest goodness and righteousness and truth as the light of this world, it all hinges on this one call. This one work. And it's found in John 6:27. So I'd like to ask you to turn there. John 6:27-29. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, "Do not work for food that perishes, but for food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him the Father God has set his seal." Therefore, they said to him, they're talking to Jesus, and they're like, "What shall we do so that we may work the works of God?" Very good question. What shall we do then to work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said this to them. "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent." Oh, we just went full circle back to this personal relationship and your ability to believe in Jesus. Now, let's retrace our steps. So believing in Jesus is more than just believing about Jesus, right? We know this. The word there is into. Just like, you know, John 3:16, all who believe in Christ, you know, they have everlasting life and they won't perish. But it's believe into. So there's that partnership in. There's this connection that's very deep and spiritual. So as we believe into Jesus, we're putting our faith in the Son of Man. And as we nurture that relationship with Jesus by abiding in his love, then we're empowered by the Spirit of Christ. So we're just working back on these steps. And then the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives produces fruit, and the fruit of the Holy Spirit begins to express itself in goodness. And this goodness shows up in all the aspects of our life. Not just this compartment or that compartment, but most certainly in the arena of your work. And so this good work is how the Father's activity is expressed everywhere, and it brings glory to him. So remember, friends, that this entire series has been a way of encouraging us to build our house on the rock. You remember this? Because the storms of life will come, and Jesus wants your house to stand. The storms, you know, the relational storms, the spiritual storms, the financial storms, the physical storms, the emotional storms. How do we stand in the midst of such storms? Well, I think it's by putting God first in our spiritual life and in our relationships and in our finances and our play and our work. And so doing life God's way in all these different categories, what it does is it begins and ends with this abiding place with Jesus. He's the ground on which we stand. He's our inspiration, and he's our safety in the storm. So my encouragement is that you would believe yourself into that abiding place of his love. And I just think in terms of God wanting to inspire our work, the work of our hands, the work of our hearts, letting it come together, letting our lives express the goodness of God through the work that we do. And then this is how we put God first in our work. All right? So that's what I wanted to share. Yeah! So with that, I want to pray. And I want to bless the work of your hands and the work of your hearts. The one and the same. I want to bless the call of God on your life, and I want to bless you to believe more deeply and more fully into the man Christ Jesus. And as you abide in his love, I just bless that experience you're going to have of being deeply inspired by his Holy Spirit, deeply empowered by his Holy Spirit, the anointing of Christ enabling you to do the work that he's called you to, that he predestined for you. And so, Lord, all of these things that I've just spoken, I pray blessing on my friends here. I pray that you would bless the work of their hands. Lord, that you would promote them. Okay, so this is where I'm shifting a gear, and I'm hearing some things from the Lord about some of you. There's been some of you who have been very, very faithful in the 9-to-5, in the sense that you have shown up early, you've put in honest day's work, and there's an element of frustration that has started to creep into your heart because you don't feel like it's, well, you, here's what my sense is, that you feel like that's being taken advantage of. That you're being exploited in some way, shape, or form. That will happen when you're the brightest star in the room because you're doing a good job. And if you feel stuck in that place, I just want to declare something over you. It is God who sees you at work when no one is watching. And it is God who rewards you for your good work. And so I want to bless you to experience the word that's coming is promotion. And it's not simply a promotion at work that will bring more money because you're getting value for value exchange. You've shown yourself. You have proven yourself very valuable in the context of your work. So I just want to declare over you that God is promoting you. God is promoting you. And my sense then is that that's going to bring not only a relief to you, like a sense of accomplishment, but soon afterwards, you're going to have a sense of responsibility that comes with that promotion. And so in that, I just want to encourage you not to lose heart. When you feel a little bit burdened, a little bit overwhelmed, then this is where you tuck in and you find your abiding place with Jesus and you let him inspire your leadership. So I just want to bless those of you who are on that brink right there. You're right there. And so, Lord, as I declare promotion over my friends here, I pray that it would be swift and clear. And I pray, God, that you would bring favor to my friends. Just pausing to see if there's anything else the Lord wants to say, an encouragement and prayer. Yeah. Okay, so... maybe there's one or more here, but there's some who, when I said the word lazy, a sense of guilt and condemnation came over you. Like you have this strategic lie. I believe it's from the enemy that has, and maybe you agreed with it, that you're a lazy person. And the Lord wants to encourage you that while there may be some specific things that he wants to bring conviction to, like ways that you can change and be better at your work or whatever, heed that, listen to it, but understand that the Father does not call you lazy, especially when the work that you have been putting in your life, like you have been putting a lot of energy, this is the sense that I have, that there's someone in here that can relate to this, you've been putting a lot of energy in simply believing Jesus. That's the work that God has called you to. And in that, he wants to affirm you that you have not been lazy in that. So I just want to bless you in that pursuit. I trust that this is speaking to someone. And I want to speak against that voice of condemnation and diminishment that will call you lazy. You're no longer going to be living from that identity. In Jesus' name. The Lord calls you fruitful. And he's designed you to be fruitful. So I bless you to discover what that means for you personally. Thank you, Lord. Just seeing if there's anything else. No, I think that's it. There was one other thing that started to come. It's simply about all of the options. Some of you are blessed with having so many options, but the options feel overwhelming. And so part of what the Lord wants to say to you is listen to the desires of your heart. He's encrypted your destiny in those desires. And it is the Lord who has given you the desires of your heart as you've trusted in him. And so, Lord, thank you that you give us that freedom to follow our hearts. And so, Lord, I just bless every heart here. I bless the call that you put on everybody here. I thank you, God, that we get to be conduits of your goodness through all aspects of our life, including the place of our work. And so I bless the work of your hands and your hearts in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. That was fun. Yes, ma'am.
Saying, what is the one work? What is the one work? You got back to the point. And the point to me was, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul and all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. That's the work. And that's the one that's the hardest. But everything comes from that. As we're moving in that life, we're in that abiding place. We're remaining in him. He's remaining in us. And we can be led and not driven. He's showing the difference between the shepherd leads his sheep. He doesn't drive them from behind. And the enemy will drive us. We're trying to figure out, is this you, Lord? Are you leading me or am I being driven? Because when we're driven, we burn out. But if we're led, we're moving forward. And as we're moving forward, the works come. And then goodness and mercy follows us all the days of our life, and we dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So there's this wake behind us as we're moving, and people walk into that wake. They walk into the goodness, they walk into the mercy, and we don't take credit for it. We're going for it, and it's following us. So that's
you see what she just did there, right? She just dreached. That was amazing.
It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, if you're curious about ways that you can more deeply be involved with this community, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@me.com or like our Facebook page. Thank you and God bless. Thank you.